couple weeks ago, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, when during worship, I was the Lord spoke to me to lay down, and so I did. And so sometimes that helps me, and we're going to go over that a little bit, probably more in detail as we do that in September. We talked about having a soaking time in the Lord together once a month. That honestly is, I believe, one of the most powerful things that we could do in our Christian walk. And basically all it is sitting, laying, however you want to do it, and just listen. Just rest and just listen. I think in my life, I know that, you know, sometimes when I really just need to hear from the Lord about something, I just need to shut up. And that's the temptation I have, is to keep talking because I feel like I'm going through something. So I'm almost pleading my case to the Lord. Well, the fact is he already knows what I'm going through, and I just need to be quiet and let him speak to me. And all through the Word, like I said, we'll go through a couple of scriptures to introduce that aspect of our life in the Lord. But I laid before the Lord, and immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, "I never told you to tame the lion within." And I was like, oh, there was a rebuke with that. You know, we don't only serve the Lamb of God, we serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Right? What do we know about a lion? We know that he is king. We know that he is fierce, that he basically doesn't put up with anything, right? And so what I had done without realizing it was taming that part of me. And it's just merely him in my life. And so I had done that by being quiet when maybe I should have spoken. And sometimes be quiet when I spoke instead. Because it's not always a matter of being loud. That's not what he was saying. Sometimes sometimes we have things before us that we are supposed to attack in prayer before they attack us. And sometimes it's just a matter of watching. You know, one thing I love about lions when I went on safari is, you know, actually the male just kind of sat there, right? He just kind of sat there. But he would sit under the tree while the female lions would go out and get the food and then bring it in. But he sat there and he just watched. He could literally watch. I mean, see him just watching, just gaining, just watching what was going on. And sometimes I believe that, I mean, for me, what would happen, what I would do, is instead of just letting my eyes go across and see what was going all across my life, I would go and I would look and I'd stop. Does that make any sense at all? And so what would happen is everything past my gaze, past this, what I was focused on, I would lose sight of. Right? It's like almost having tunnel vision and not having any peripheral vision. And we have a friend that has no peripheral vision on one side, and you have to be very careful with him not to jump on him on that side because he just reacts. Right? But I think I felt like what the Lord was saying to me is, don't allow your gaze to fall on the wrong situation. But just sit and watch. Watch what he's doing, but also watch what the enemy's doing. And take in what's going on, right? And not get tripped up in my focus. And also, not to be quiet when he tells me to speak. So, I was rebuked. It happens, right? It happens sometimes. Very often. But this challenged me too. It felt like the Lord just different different things that he's spoken to me the past couple weeks has been, and different circumstances that has come up and different things, that it has challenged me of where my focus is, but not just that. Where my loyalty is. You know, one of the things that someone told us when we first decided to become pastors, they were like, it's you and Jesus. And I was like, yeah, that's an obvious thing, right? Yes, it's you and Jesus. Get it. But see, the thing of it is that what would happen is I would get focused here. Here. Stop. Here. Stop. And I wasn't always looking there. So I realized, where is my loyalty? I could say that my loyalty was to the Lord. I could say that. But what was my motivation? What is our motivation? What characterizes us? What do I say when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, what is my motivation for living life? What is my motivation in anything that I do? I don't know if I'm making any sense or not, but I am going to make a point. I feel like the Lord is saying that we need to make sure, for one, know me, that our focus is truly on Him. And we could say that, we could believe that, we could hope for that, but just like Jamie was talking about intimacy, I'm not just talking about having a casual relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about where I meet Him daily, where I encounter Him daily. See, I believe this. I believe that it is more about me connecting to Him than He connecting to me. I believe that it's about me desiring it and wanting it. And like what she said, I love that. He'll never say no to that prayer. That's amazing. Think about that. So that should even encourage us even more. That should be our heart's desire. But it's my decision. It's me. You know, and you guys, you may be doing perfect in that. You may be doing awesome in that. You know what? I feel like the Lord is stirring us more. Because when I wake up in the morning, I need to have the attitude of one thing. I get to have more of Jesus today. I get to know something different about Him today. You know, I don't know about you, but I find myself getting in habitual things. I'm not talking about sin, face value sin, necessarily. That can become sin. I was talking to Miss Mary about TV. This weekend has proven to be a terrible thing for us and the kids. We were like, oh, we're going to watch a family movie. One, they said GD a couple of times, so we turned it off. The other one had a scene in it. We turned it off. I can't even remember the other one. Do you remember, Jamie? There's like four different things. It was terrible. Oh, the other one. Okay, so Jaws. I haven't seen it in a very long time. I haven't. But it was made in 1975. Okay, I know that it would be extremely cheesy. All right? My kids were like, let's watch it. I was like, okay. The first scene in that is nudity. Did y'all know that? I didn't know it. See, I should have called you first. I didn't remember. And I was like, oh my goodness. Yes. I know the very first scene, y'all, it is about a shark who needs all the mess. Anyways, so we had to turn it off. Anyway, so we were totally joking around. I was like, maybe the Lord's saying we need to fast TV for a while. Minus one show, and it's a family thing that we do. And so, yeah, so there is no family movies that happened this weekend at all, which was okay. But I realized that, you know, normally, I say normally, before we would play skip-bo and stuff like that, but we had gotten into the habit of watching a show together. And I'm not saying that's bad in and of itself. I'm not saying that. But, like, after this weekend, if I want to continue to watch a show, I mean, there was nothing on it. We were done. We were done. Done with the TV thing. But anyway, I feel like the Lord is stripping some things away. I believe that the Lord is bringing us into a new season. You know, we've been declaring the new season. We've been discussing it and stuff. But, you know, sometimes the Lord will speak something. We pray into it and believe and declare that thing, and then it happens. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've gotten prophetic words and I've done absolutely nothing with it, or the Lord has spoken to me about something and I've done nothing with it, and I was like, see, I knew it wouldn't happen. Well, it was because I didn't react in faith. I did nothing with it. I just sat on it. I just sat down and do anything. But we've been declaring a new thing. And I feel like that personally and corporately, that the Lord is wanting us to shed some things. And like I said, you guys may not be where I am, but I'm letting you know that there's always more. There's always more to Him. You know, there was one thing that used to absolutely get on my nerves at school, but I would always check myself, and I say it got on my nerves because it normally convicted me. But it was always like this. There was occasions when our professor would say, you know, God, we just consecrate ourselves to you. And we've talked about that before. But I feel like the Lord, through our consecration, our laying down at the altar, that the Lord is just simply doing that because He wants to show us something. He wants to bring us into that intimacy. You know, those things that we've been convicted about several times over again, He's like, okay, no more. We're done with it. Let's move on from what I've told you is not right. Let's move on from it now, because I want to bring you into this intimate place with me. And in the intimate place, I'm going to share some things with you because I love you and I trust you. You know, and so, anyway, I want to go to this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Y'all ready? We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within. So the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. I may read that in a minute. But you know, God's power in us, we house it. We know this. We house His power. We house His glory. We house Him. But what does it all matter if it's seen as ours? Doesn't matter, right? We want Him to have the glory. Well, within that, what happens this way? If God suddenly breaks out in our lives, individually and corporately, and let's just say Saturday, we go and we're praying for people, and people are healed, and they're delivered, and they're set free, and we're believing for salvations, and we're believing for those things. What happens come Sunday? Who is our prize? Jesus? Or is our prize what we did? And I'm talking because these are things that have challenged me. What is our prize, or who is our prize? In this life, why do I wake up? Like I said, is it the joy of I get to know more of Him? I get more of Him. I get more of Him. I get to see more of Him. Or is it the possibility that I get to lay hands on someone or pray for them for salvation? And I'm not minimizing that. Please understand my heart. I'm not minimizing that. That is like an amazing experience. That is amazing. But what? Why do we do it? Why? You know, someone knocked on the door last night when we were during prayer, and I went out and I talked to her, and she immediately started in a state of humility where she was like, "We've come here before. My boyfriend and I have come before, and I just want to apologize because we lied the last time we came." She didn't have to do that. I'm just saying she didn't. She said, she was like, "I don't want money. I just like some food." And so she was talking and talking, and I was like, into my heart immediately, I was like, she's not leaving until I know about her relationship with Jesus. And so I asked her, and she said that she actually grew up in church, that she went to a Christian school, and that she got involved in drugs, and she backslid. And that she, I mean, that she wasn't doing good. She had only been 2 days clean. And so I was like, and she was like, "I want to do better. I want to be clean. I want to do better. I know I have a terrible reputation," and all of this stuff. And I was like, "Well, you can't do it alone. You can't." And the thought immediately hit me was, "Paula, you can't either." You know, but I get in this mode where I think I can, right? That's what we do when we don't spend the sufficient time with Jesus, like Jamie was talking about. I know, I think I become independent in that moment, thinking that I can do something without him. And I can't. And so when I prayed over her, I didn't just pray for her. I said, "Lord, I thank you that we can't do anything without you. We can't. My motivation has to be that he is my prize. And everything that I do," and we are an outreach church, and we have been focused on building our church for a while. And so when we go out there, when we are stirred with ideas from heaven more and more, our motivation needs to be, "I want to take you to an encounter with the lover of my soul, that I realize that I get to have more of him every day, and I want you to have more of him," not just salvation. We get in these modes where, yes, you could be saved, and you know what? Yes. But it's more than that. It's more than that, right? It's more than that. So I encourage you to pray and ask God if there's anything that needs to be stripped away from you. And you know what? I don't believe. A lot of times the person in this pulpit just confirms things, right? It's usually what we do. You know, whether it's a fast the Lord's been speaking to you about, or just simply changing your schedule, whatever. It may be so simple. I want to go on to read verse 8, 2 Corinthians 4, 8. "Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option." You know, I think I told Jamie several times last week that I was ready to quit. I asked her if she wanted to be the pastor. We go through those. But quitting is not an option. We will endure. Not just endure. You know, my brother, My brother has the exact opposite personality as I do. Exact opposite. Very much in sports. Yeah, I tried. But he is very much in sports. He's a football player since, I mean, he's little league football player, and you know, they start what here at birth, right? It seems like it. That I was very young, he started. And he had this amazing ability that I didn't get at all because our personalities were so different. Before a football game, he was able within seconds to get himself so hyped up he was ready to tear down a wall. Okay? And I'm not like that. I'm just like, cool. You know what I mean? That's my hyped up right there. You just saw it in action. I'm excited. He's like bouncing off the walls, ready. I mean, like, he's just very expressive, I guess. Very charismatic in that. And that's what I see the Lord wanting to be for us inside. That excitement when we wake up in the morning. That running to Him and being like, I get more of you today. I get to know you more today.